ask you tonight, is there anything too hard for my God to do? Hallelujah. Come on, choir. Just like the Hebrew boys camped at the fiery furnace, just like my servant Job and his servant Moses, guiding me, saving me, just let him have his way. Well, just like the servant Job and his servant Moses, hallelujah, guiding me, saving me, just let him have his way.
Step back and let God have his way.
Oh yeah, step back,
step back
and let God
take your hand off.
You ought to step back,
step back
and take your Hebrew boy, the king went down. He said, did we put him free? It looks like I see. Looks like I see four. But he stepped on back. He stepped on back. He stepped on back. Let God, let God do it. Let God do it. Let God do it. Just let him do it. Let God do it.
A text this evening from Ezekiel chapter 1. We're making our way through the Old Testament and principally right now through the book of Ezekiel. We have been studying through probably chapter 15 or 16, and we're doing kind of an overview this evening in regard to some of those areas. Chapter 1 of Ezekiel and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word forever settled in the heavens. Come on. Let's praise him if you love his word. Oh, no, no. Your response makes all the difference. Come on. Let's praise him for his word. If you're glad for his word, if your life is built on his word, if your hope is rooted in his word, let's praise him for it. I praise you, mighty God. Oh, I know I may be pushing you a little bit, but we don't ever get casual about the word of God. We don't ever get casual about what he's done for us. I want my response always to be heated, always to be energetic to the word of God. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Now, we've been studying Ezekiel, and we are studying him in a book that is full of judgment, but we are studying a transcendent experience. And we don't choose to embrace judgment. We choose to embrace life. Well, you ought to say amen. An amen goes right there. We've made a choice a long time ago to get our lives and our sin under the blood. We made a choice a long time ago to say yes to God, to shun the judgment, and to embrace life, and that more abundantly, because that's what he's purchased for us. He's come that I might have joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, praise the Lord. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And I refuse to settle for anything less. He's come that I might have a peace that passes all understanding. And I refuse to be anxious and twisted and troubled and worried, not under the shadow of an almighty God. Come on now, you got to get on one side or the other of this, but you need to be on the winning side of it. My God, either this book is true or we need to go out and get drunk. I know where the bar rooms are. I still know how to live that way. I could, Brother Cedric, I could find the druggers tonight. It wouldn't take anything at all for me to anesthetize my mind and my spirit. If you don't believe this book, you don't have any hope at all. You're making a mistake of being here. But if you believe this book, my God, he's brought us joy. He's brought us peace. He's given us hope. And I refuse to sit by the river with those that have given up their hope. But I've made a decision. I've made up my mind that I'm going to be a creature of praise before the throne of God. That when I open my mouth, it's going to be a word of faith. I made a decision, irrespective of circumstance or what everybody else is doing. And we've been through these places with Ezekiel. But I wanted to drop back to this first chapter, because we've been talking about getting out from under the shadow of our past. Last Wednesday evening, having the capacity to lay claim, to appropriate, to embrace good news. Some people can't hear anything but the bad, can't embrace anything but the negative, can't rise up to faith. They're tethered like a ball and chain to the cynicism and the skepticism and the doubt and the unbelief of our world. But I've made up my mind that this is the day the Lord has made. I will, by will, rejoice. I will be glad in it. I'm glad five or six of you believe that. But in the middle of any situation, you can express your faith and a will that is in alignment with the word of God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Come on. Is your God big enough to handle it? Is your God big enough to handle it? Will your God take care of it? And do you have faith enough for him to say yes? And do you have faith enough for him to say no? And do you have faith enough for him to say wait? My God, get that lip unfurled there. Get a smile on your face. Get your hope unfurled like a flag in your life. Praise God. Ezekiel is there among the captives, and it's his 30th year, and it's time for him to go into the priesthood. But Jerusalem is gone. And the temple is gone. And the vestments of the priesthood are gone. And the fair mitre and the mercy seat and the holy of holies and all that would have been his place to minister is all gone. But in the middle of that, he stands up, regardless of circumstance and regardless of the mindset of the lost generation around him. He said, I looked up. I'm bound to look up. Not looking down or back or around. I'm looking up. And I saw the heavens open. And I saw visions of God. His name means God will strengthen. Every day of his life. His moniker is God will strengthen. Praise God. What a name. What a promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry about it. God will strengthen. Come on now, if you really believe that, shake him a little bit and say, don't worry about it. God is able. God is willing. God is full of promise. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him. My God, but can you receive good news? Can you hear good news? Or would you like it better if we pulled out Israel's judgment and beat you with it tonight? Ah, the Spirit of God is going to leave you. God's going to tear down your temple. God's going to tear down your holy city. Judgment and despair. Pox upon you. Death and destruction. People can embrace that. But it takes a proactive, affirmative, Bible-based mindset. Out from under the shadow of the past. I know you heard the negative voices in your childhood. I know the divorce broke your heart. I know you were rejected along the way. And maybe things haven't turned out like you thought they would. But God is still God. And you need to get out from under the shadow of those former things. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Come on now, tell your neighbor, I have the capacity to receive good news. Come on, I've made a decision not to embrace the judgment, but I've made a decision to have victory in my life. You got to get on board with this. If David can say this, we can say it. This is the day God has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Praise God. I got news for you. God's side is winning. I've got news for you. God's not in trouble. I've got news for you. The blessings of God are true. I've got news for you. The face of God is shining like the sun down on this earth, looking for somebody upon which to show himself strong. My. God's ready. Are you ready? Praise God. You got to have the capacity to receive good news. You've got to come out from under the cloud cover of those old archetypes and constructs in your life, all those old voices and past experiences and doubts and fears, and quit embracing negativism and judgment. And rather embrace the promise of God. Praise God. This morning we talked about creating a culture that celebrates others. The capacity to look around you and to edify and to lift up and to believe that God has the power to work in your brother or your sister by the same magnitude that he worked in the ancients and in the patriarchs and in the prophets. And when he told them about their day of judgment, he dropped in three names, and the names were Noah and Job and Daniel. Noah was an ancient, and Job was an ancient, and men of great faith and power in the plan of God. But he also dropped in on them the name of Daniel, and Daniel was a contemporary of the captives in Babylon. But he lumped him in. He set him up in the same place of high regard in God as he did the angel. Can you do that? Can you believe that good things are coming? And can you believe the promise of God is true? Can you believe that God can use those that are seated around you tonight? I'm telling you, do you have faith enough to believe that God can, by grace, lift up your brother, use your sister? Do you believe there's mercy enough for those that are in this house tonight? In order to embrace that, you've got to get beyond your own self-doubts and your own lack of confidence, because you tend to project on others what's inside of you. And if you don't think mercy is available for you, you're sure not going to be giving it out, dispensing it to others. And if you don't think grace is for you, you're not going to be giving it out to others. And if you think you're worthy of judgment and you think you're worthy of hell, you're going to be giving everybody around you a little hell. Praise the Lord. But if you can understand the promise of God and believe God for grace enough to move on everyone around you, praise God. Let me tell you, Ezekiel wasn't going to minister where he thought he was going to minister. He wasn't going to minister where the elders had ministered. He wasn't going to minister where Israel had been for 1,000 years. His whole circumstance had changed, but in the middle of a changed circumstance, he said, I'm still going to minister. I may be out of place, and I might be out of season, and everybody around me may have failed, but I still can lay my hand to the work of God. It might not be the package that I thought it would be. It may not be the location I thought it would be, but wherever I am, I'm going to serve him. Whatever the circumstance, I'm going to serve him. If I wait till everything's perfect, I'll never serve him. If I wait till everybody agrees, I'll never serve him. If I wait till I've got enough money, I'll never serve him. If I wait till life is perfect, I'll never serve him. The time to serve him is now. The place to serve him is here. The servant of God is sitting in that seat with you. We talked about celebrating others. We talked about rising above the shadows of the past. Tonight, I want to tell you, you've got to have the capacity to believe that God can use you. I believe God has a divine purpose and destiny for every person in this house tonight. And the depth of potential in you is an unknown. There is no limit to what God can do with one person that will say yes to him, regardless of the past. I mean, walk out from under the shadow of the past and say yes to God. Say no to all the negative voices and all the haunting memories and all the pain and all the scars. You can rise above and step beyond that. My God, what God can do with a person like that. Somebody that can rise above the situation, rise above the lost around them, and think that God is able to bless these that I pray for. God is able to strengthen these that I minister to. I believe God can. Look at your neighbor in the eyeball and say, I believe God can work a miracle in your life. Come on, tell him, I believe there's enough grace for you. I believe there's mercy enough for you. Come on, shake him a little bit. Say, I believe there's a destiny in the kingdom for you. Anybody believe that tonight? Anybody believe that tonight? My God. But you got to have the capacity. God wants to use you. He's got a divine plan for your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imaginations, thoughts, and a base of knowledge. Paul said that's where the victory's won. Paul said that's where the battle is fought. And all of those things. It's not in some mountain stronghold in the darkness of this city. It's not down in some crevice in the inner core of the earth. But it's between my ears tonight that I'm going to win the battle that will unfurl in my life the promises of God. It's in my mind, imaginations. What's the problem with me that when I imagine things, I imagine in the negative? When I sing in the minor. When I hum the blues. What's the matter with me? I've got to get out of the shadow of that thing. I've got to quit looking at all the lost and the negative around me. And I've got to start believing what the Word of God has proclaimed. My God, why can't I imagine in the positive? Why can't I imagine victory? I choose to have an imagination full of promise. I am inversely paranoid tonight. Paranoia is a plot. People are out to get me. When I see them talking in the corners of the room, I know they're talking about me. When I hear them giggling and laughing, I know they're laughing at me. Paranoia is so stupid. It's real, but it's stupid to think that you are so important that everybody you see is talking about you and laughing at you and even considering you. My God, well, whatever it is, I've got inverse paranoia. When I see people talking, I think they're planning on something good for me. I believe there's a plot afoot. I believe there's a conspiracy out there to do me good. I believe there's a plan moving right now, just out of the field of my vision. My life's about to converge with good things. My life's about to intersect with promises. My life's about to break loose in answered prayer and the fulfillment of the promise of God. Is there anybody in the house that can embrace that tonight? I'm a paranoid tonight. I'm inversely paranoid. My God, I know you're thinking good thoughts about me right now. I know all these kids love me. My God, I know Sister Vita's baking me a cake. I know Brother Freeman thinks I'm the best pastor that he's ever had in his whole life. Now you say, I just had a discussion with Brother Freeman. I got news for you, buddy. He's very concerned about you. And he's worried about you. And he doesn't trust you. And he doesn't have confidence in you. But you know how it is when you try to talk to a paranoid? And you're telling them, hey, buddy, those people aren't talking about you. They don't even know your name. Might as well be talking to a cinder block. Can't get in. I know they're talking about me. I know they're laughing at me. That's what paranoia is. It's crazy. I'm just crazy tonight. You tell me all you want. How somebody doesn't like me. How somebody doesn't trust me. How somebody hates me. I don't care. I'm bulletproof. It just bounces right off. I just think everybody loves me. I'm an inverse paranoid tonight. I believe the promise of God is for me. I believe the... Can anybody embrace that in this house tonight? Imaginations in the positive. My God is, every time I come to the house of God, I expect 50 people to get the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, you don't have any basis in fact for that. I mean, out of the last 10 services, there's not been a service where 50 people have gotten the Holy Ghost. I know, but I'm just incurable. I believe it's going to happen like that. I believe it's out there. I believe they're out there lurking. It's building up a tidal wave of humanity that wants to run to this altar and find a place in God. I just feel it. I just believe it. I know it to be true. You say, well, man, I don't see him. Well, you don't believe Peter walks on water either, do you? I'm gone. I'm way off the end of this thing. It's too late for me. I'm imagining good things. My God. I'm seeing, in my prayer life, I'm telling God, fill this house up at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Fill it up again at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Fill it up for a Latino service at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And fill it up again. Standing room only every night. I can see a new sanctuary. My God, I can see buses pulling up full of people hungry for God. Imaginations. What are you imagining? Pink slips and layoffs and trouble on the job and trouble in the family and wasted years and lost teenagers. What are you imagining? My God, I'm imagining all these young people being champions in the kingdom of God. I can see them as 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds bringing in little children behind them, raising them up the way they ought to go. I can see victory for miles and miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles victory for miles. Power for miles. Imagine. My God. Praise God. My God. I feel good about it. Praise God. I refuse to live under the shadow of the past. I refuse to be the extension of those things that I hated when I was a little kid. I refuse to extend those things on and be the bearer of those things in my life. My God, isn't it terrifying for you to wake up and look in the mirror and find out that you are exactly what you hated about people when you were a child, and now you are the enemy? My God, you need to start imagining thoughts. Chester Mitchell, think good things. Think positive things. Man, I'm looking across here. A winner. A champion. I've got a mental block. I can't even say loser. A lightning rod for the power of God. An anointed champion in the kingdom of God. A man of God, a prophet of God, a leader in the house. What do you see? What are your thoughts? I'm thinking about victory. I'm thinking about promise. I'm thinking about answered prayers. I'm thinking about you being delivered, totally free. Ah, mighty God. She went down in the blood this morning, went down in the name of Jesus. I believe God has broken every chain. Praise God. Praise God. What are you thinking? Sister Gina, I could be thinking about Davin sitting there in that orange jumpsuit. And I could be thinking, maybe that's a bad thing. But I'm thinking April's sitting here tonight. And April is the wife of one of Davin's cellmates. And I'm thinking something good is going on. Where the devil thought something evil was going to happen. The enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What are you thinking? I'm thinking victory. What are you thinking? I'm thinking revival. imaginations, thoughts, knowledge. What do you know? What do you know? I know God is. I know God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. What do you know? I know all the promises of God are yes and amen. What do you know? I know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What do you know? I know if we raise them up the way they go, they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. What do you know? What do you know? What is your knowledge base? What do you allow to rule in that head of yours? In this discussion with Paul, he's letting me know that it's not chance, it's not circumstance, it's not what was planted in there before, it's not the impressions of my childhood and my youth. It is an act of will that determines my imaginations. They may be there, but I can pull them down. Strongholds, I can pull them down by the might of God. Thoughts, I can quit thinking all those negative thoughts. I can quit thinking all of those depressed thoughts. How you feeling? Well, I can tell you, if you feel wonderful, you've been doing wonderful. Because feelings follow actions. I wish I could feel better. Well, go do something nice for somebody. Bake somebody a cake. Take somebody a present. Go buy a gift for some little kid at Children's Hospital. I'm going to share something with you. I'm reluctant, but I'm going to. I went to see Cornelius at the hospital the other day. And we were excited because he's out of ICU and he's in his own room and he's ready to go home. We're thankful that God got him out of that hospital and is raising him up in strength. But I'm walking through the hospital and there's this little gal. It's raining outside. She's sitting in a wheelchair. She's about 11. She's got a little mask on. It's dropped down under her chin. And I don't know what her problem is. But I know she's just down there on a little R&R from her room. She's extended care there at that hospital. Been there a long time. Knows her way around. And she's sitting there. And she's just happy to be down there looking at people. She's watching all the people come by. And I was going to the gift shop to get Cornelius something. And I picked up a little dog with a ribbon around its neck. And I brought it to the little girl that was sitting in the wheelchair. And you're not supposed to tell about it when you do things like this because you lose your blessing. Not so, not so. But I got down in her little corner there in that little play area. And she was in some kind of a corral where they park wheelchairs. I guess she was about to go back up. And I brought her her puppy dog with the ribbon on it. And it lit her up. But man, it fired me up. I'm still feeling good about that. I was able to have a little prayer. And I'm going up the elevator to go see Cornelius. And there's this lady there. And we're not looking at one another. You're not doing elevators. You don't. But I'm a provocateur. Nice day. It's raining outside. I appreciate that. See, you don't know what's up there. Nice day. She said, I saw what you did for that little girl. See, I'm getting points and I don't even know about it. I'm spreading joy and I don't even know about it. I'm paranoid. I believe people are watching me and thinking good things about what I'm doing. My God. Man, I feel it right now. Somebody's planning a party for me.
I think we're going to have a parade. My God. There's no telling, Brother Freeman, what's about to happen in this church. Imagination, thoughts, and knowledge are an act of volition. There is a certain amount of that that is packaged into you when you come off the system, out of your home or out of your mom and dad's care, out of the foster care system, whatever, wherever you've been. There's a certain amount of that that's already in that unit. But Brother Freeman knows that it doesn't matter what's in that unit, that you can reprogram everything in that. You can put a whole new world inside of a computer, and you can put a whole new world inside of your brain by choice and by will. Exercise of will. Why don't you just lift your hands right now and praise him for a minute? I'm about done. Praise God. Would you open your mouth and just tell him, I believe you can use me, God. I believe you have a destiny for me, God. I believe something awesome is coming into my life right now. My God, it's not winding down. It's not drifting. It's not falling apart. God's got his hand on me for destiny. Ha. Praise God. Praise God. Pray. Do you believe it? Can you sense it? The enemy wants to remind you of all the why nots, and God is pounding away to tell you why you can and why he can. Abraham said, God, if you're going to do this, you better hurry. Because I'm 100 and Sarah's 90. Biologically, it's not looking good. Let me tell you something about what God's going to do with you. It's not going to depend on your strength. And it won't be deterred by your weakness. It's going to be God. It's going to be God. Shake your neighbor and say, it's going to be God. Moses began to resist and say, but God, I can't talk. I've been herding goats for 40 years. And I'm more like a goat than I am a man now. You can't use me. I'm a generation removed out of Egypt. I can't go back there. But it's not about your strength. He told him, just use what's in your hand. Oh, listen now. You might be thinking, I don't have what it takes. Whatever you have in your hand is going to be enough. Whatever you have in your pocket is going to be enough. Whatever you have in your heart is going to be enough. Praise God. Gideon's hiding. Gideon is resistant. Gideon says, I'm a small family in the smallest of tribes, and I'm the least of my brethren. I'm diminished. I'm so small. And he's hiding. But God is going to share his shout. God's going to share his sword. And it doesn't matter about your size. It matters about the size of your God. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you what. It doesn't matter about your ability. It doesn't matter about your disability. The only thing that matters is your availability. It doesn't matter about what you have or what you don't have. If you'll make yourself available, God is ready to use you. I'm telling you, now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. God's looking for somebody to use. I believe God can do miracles in other people, and I've got to believe that he can do a miracle in me. Come on now. You can project that on somebody else. But can you believe? Can you shut out the voices of the past? Can you shut out the circumstances of your life? And can you embrace the fact that God can work a miracle with you? That God can do a mighty work with you? My God, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Don't shove it off on somebody else. Do you believe it about yourself? Do you believe there's grace enough for you? That there's mercy enough for you? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we come on down around the altar tonight? Praise God. I believe God's made promises concerning dominion and possession. Praise God. If you first step on up, there you go. When you get here, lay your hand on somebody near you. Come on, look at them and tell them, we're going to do something in the kingdom of God. My God, God's about to use us in an unbelievable way. God's about to do a work in us. Hallelujah. Come on, guys, step up, step up, step up, make room. There you go, people are coming behind you. I get joy when I think about, oh, yeah, what he's gonna do with me. Yeah. I get joy when I think about, yeah, what God's about to do with me.
Yeah. I get joy when I think about,
hey,
what he's done for me.
What he's gonna do.
What he's gonna do for me, yeah.
Praise God. Come on now. Come on. Show your neighbor your hands. Say, I've got healing in my hands. Come on, touch your mouth. Say, I've got a word of prophecy. It's nigh me. It's even in my mouth. Touch your eye. Say, I've got a vision that reaches for a million years. We're going to have revival here. We're going to have victory here. We're going to have an overcoming experience here. We're going to, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to blast off out of here. We're going to work with God for 1,000 years during the millennial. And then we're going to move on out the other side into eternity. My God, do you have a vision? Can you see it? Are you on the winning side? Put your finger right here. Tell your neighbor, I got a mind on me. Come on, what are you imagining? Come on, tell somebody, I'm imagining victory. I'm imagining miracles. I'm imagining revival. I'm imagining my loved ones talking in tongues. I'm imagining my brother, my sister, my mama, my daddy. My God, what can you imagine? I'm imagining revival breaking loose in a high school. I'm imagining revival breaking loose at Alabama Power. I'm imagining revival breaking loose at UAB. My God. My God. I can see the whole brass section in the band of UAB talking in tongues. Filled with the Holy Ghost. What can you see? What can you imagine? Yeah. My God. Don't tell me it's too big. There's nothing too big for my God. mean, look at what he does. Look at what he's done. Don't tell me he's not able. God. Praise God. What kind of thoughts are you thinking? Come on, thoughts of victory. Thoughts of overcoming power. Thoughts of the devil of this city bound up. The Prince of Birmingham bound up and shut up. Closed up. God's given us an open door for possession and dominion. And the prince of this city has to come down. What are you thinking? What do you know? My God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you what, I look across this sanctuary, and there's some folks that have had some rough experiences in their childhood. They've had some rough adult experiences. They've been through the fire, and they've been through the flood. But I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, they're still standing in the house of God. Now we got to get past all that and begin to believe God for what he wants to do. Come on, lift your hands right now. Whatever it is you want to see, I want you to lift it to God right now. And with a voice of faith, with a word of prophecy, speak it forth right now. Come on, the word of prophecy is nigh thee, even in thy mouth.